Welcome to the Real Film Nerds Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone. We hope you enjoyed your 420 this past Saturday. And welcome to Real Film Nerds Podcast, episode number 370. Not quite to 420, but we will get there one day. And once we do, Mike, we will definitely have to do, you know, like Half-Baked or like Cheech and Chong, or we'll have to do like all of them.
Yeah. Half-Baked for sure, man. We've been talking about doing that movie forever.
Well, there you go. We only need a few, almost 100 more movies and reviews and podcasts. And we got like 2 years and we'll get there.
We're there, man. We're there. 2 years. No problem.
We got it. Unless, you know, you decide to have 3 more children.
No. I think 2's enough. 2 children's is good.
So, all right. Well, there we go, everyone. I'm Matt, your host, without the mostest. And your host with the mostest, who's getting ready to go on his 17th vacation of 2024, Mysterious Mike Talent.
Hey, everybody. No, it's not my 17th, but it's, you know, I go on some trips, yeah.
Well, Mike, it's vacation, and I don't get that. When I go on vacation, it's actually going to go and do work. So, like you were talking about Vegas. Yes, I did go to Vegas not long ago. I went for 3 days. I didn't even put $1 in a slot machine. That's how much I was working when I was there.
Oh, man. What about Laughlin?
I gambled when I was in Laughlin, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did. Oh, that was vacation number 2 for Matt?
That was more of a workcation. That was a workcation as well. I was sitting in class for however many required hours, and then we would go out and have beverages in the evening and nice steaks.
Okay. All right.
Courtesy of, you know, friends and family. So, anyways, all right, Mike. We need to get on with the show here because exhausted and you're old.
I am old and exhausted, yes.
And you're rich.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
No, you're rich. We all know you are, Mike. So this week, speaking of rich, we chat about this interesting movie by Guy Ritchie called The Mystery of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Say that 3 times fast.
I cannot, so I will not.
Yeah, I'm surprised you can get it out of your mouth at just once.
Yeah, that's true.
Stumbling, so.
Yep.
That's what I was trying to help. I started it out for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You want me to go into the rundown, dude?
Yeah, I think you should do the rundown. We already got Guy Ritchie, so we got that one. But okay. You can say it again, too.
All right. So directed by Guy Ritchie. It's written by Paul Tamsey, Eric Johnson, Irish Emil. Guy Ritchie, and it's based on the book by Damian Lewis. This movie is starring Henry Cavill, Alan Richardson, Alex Pettifer, Eliza Gonzalez, Babs Osamokun, Carrie Ells, and... The movie is about the British military recruits a small group of highly skilled soldiers to strike against German forces behind enemy lines during World War II.
Well, Mike, you didn't stumble over it too bad.
Yeah, I know. A little bit.
But it was still pretty rough. It was not as bad as Monkey Man, but it was still...
Yeah, Monkey Man was bad.
You still had your challenges, yeah. So anyways, all right, Mike, I'm just going to start this out with a bang. We have another incredible giveaway from our friends over at Paramount.
Awesome, dude.
So, Mike, did you watch the trailer for this film?
Yes, I did.
So, this film is currently out in select theaters, but it is also available to purchase on digital on demand right now. It is Johnny Knoxville's latest film called Sweet Dreams.
Nice, dude. It looks interesting. Looks, you know, like a kind of a feel good movie, like a redemption story. So it looks good.
It does. It looks really good. It looks very feel goody. I was thinking it was going to be something slapsticky, and it's not, because that's what most of his somewhat serious films have been, is kind of more slapstick. This actually looks pretty decent. You know, so I'm excited for all of you listeners to write in to Mike and tell them you want a copy, and I think you need to tell us who your favorite original Jackass cast member was.
Oh, yeah, dude, that's great.
That's a good question, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Superfan Eric is going to be all over this one, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Speaking of Superfan Eric, he emailed me that he's excited. There's a Aldi coming to his area, and he can't wait to try some of the Aldi beers and beverages.
Well, good. I can't believe he's getting an Aldi before I am, but how dare you, Eric? How dare you?
Yep. Yep. Oh, well.
So, all right. Nope.
You got the business, dude?
Yeah, I got to get the business, but I was going to say, go ahead and email Mike@realfilmnerds.com who your favorite Jackass member is. You can always CC me on it. I am Matt@realfilmnerds.com, or you can just send it to the main email because I check it too, because Mike never would, or else we would never get things done around here. But it's nerds@realfilmnerds.com, and that goes to, I think, both of us still. I'm not sure, but it definitely goes to me, so I usually respond out of that one.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't get that one, Matt, so I think it's just you.
Okay. Well, I'll just go ahead and start. My favorite Jackass character, or not character, actor, goofball, was Bam. I really enjoyed Bam Margera. He was hilarious.
Oh, all right. Cool. I don't know, man. I think I'm a big fan of Wee Man.
Yeah, you're a big fan of Wee Man? Did I ever tell you I met Wee Man?
Yeah, dude. I think I was
Weren't you there?
Yeah. I think I was there.
Did you go over there and meet him and shake his hand too?
Yeah.
That was at I'm forgetting the name of the bar. We went there all the time. They had $2 Coronas.
Yeah, the $2 Corona bar.
Yeah, and it was always jam-packed with people. Yeah, he was sitting there with an entourage, literally like 10 girls around him. You remember that? Yeah?
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. No, of course.
So, anyways, there we go. Mike loved Wee Man. I'm a big fan of the Bam Margera. Anyways, write us, email us, let us know. Here is the business that I need to read. Johnny Knoxville knocks it out of the park in his new movie, Sweet Dreams, now available to buy on digital. A misfit softball team of recovering addicts swings for the fences and prove that everyone can hit a home run in this wild journey of second chances. You can grab Sweet Dreams now from Fandango at Home. Sweet Dreams is rated R, and again, it is from our friends over at Paramount Pictures.
All right, dude. Yep. Make sure to email me your favorite character from Jackass to be entered into the contest to win this latest Johnny Knoxville starring movie, Sweet Dreams.
All right, Mike, on with the show. The Ministry of a Gentlemanly Warfare. This is a Guy Ritchie film, but I have to say, this is probably the least Guy Ritchie film that Guy Ritchie has ever made.
You think, dude?
Yeah, it had Guy Ritchie elements in it, but it wasn't quite as slapsticky and odd as a lot of his action films.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot of fun. And I felt it was, like, the last Guy Ritchie movie was kind of... Well, I mean, that was the one about the desert, right? With
Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That is probably the least Guy Ritchie film. Yeah. This is more Guy Ritchie than that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then was the one before that the Jason Statham one?
No, no. That was before the next one. Operation Fortune, Ruse de Guerre. You remember we reviewed that one too? That was the one that came out in 2023.
Okay. All right.
And that was definitely a Guy Ritchie film, but it wasn't a great film. The one before that was the Jason Statham film, Wrath of Man.
That's
and the
it.
One before that was The Gentleman. And I really liked The Gentleman. I thought Wrath of Man was pretty good. If you want to listen to all these, we reviewed every single one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I was just thinking about, like, I felt like this movie felt more like a Guy Ritchie movie to me. Just because some of the quirkiness and flow and the uniqueness of the characters? I don't know.
Well, but except for they're not characters, Mike, they're real people.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think a lot of what they had to go on is pretty sketchy. So I think they just kind of made up what they... Like, they know events happen, but I don't know if they know everything of how it went down.
Yeah, no, I agree. But no, I mean, it is definitely a Guy Ritchie film where The Covenant did not feel like a Guy Ritchie film at all. I was just saying it really seemed toned down because it's not like at the level of like The Gentleman or Snatch or The Man from U.N.C.L.E., you know? It was not, it had elements. It had like the chapters and it had, you know, his character development and all that other interesting stuff. But it still seemed fairly toned down for a Guy Ritchie film. I loved it. I think this movie was fantastic. I had a struggle on rating this one. I went back and forth, but you'll hear what I rated it later. And not because of anything super crazy. I mean, I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's fantastic. And I would recommend everyone, if you love history or if you love war films or if you love action, to go watch this movie because it is hilarious, over the top, kick-ass action war movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. It was a great action war movie with lots of history stuff, dude. Like, I really enjoyed some of that stuff with the secrecy, I'll just say, until we get into spoilers.
Oh, are you? Well, okay, yeah. I mean, that's the hard part. Like, this one, you really don't want to spoil it because there's a lot of huge different kind of twists and turns and things that happen, like in most spy thrillers. You know, this, they talked about it and they promoted it a little bit in the trailer, but this story is what inspired Ian Fleming to create and write all of the James Bond character in 007 films and books.
Yeah, no, that was really, really interesting.
Yeah, he was a part of this mission when he was alive back in World War II, which is pretty wild. And I mean, this, granted, we might find out in the future that there was more than just one mission like this, but that particular, you know, mission inspired a whole genre of films almost. I'm sure there were spy thrillers before James Bond, but not like what they are now. Or yeah, were in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, no, it was, yeah, but this was a fun movie, man. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't really know what I was getting when I went into this movie, and I definitely liked it.
Did you not watch the trailer? Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, yeah, no, I watched the trailer, of course, dude. But I just wasn't 100% sure what kind of movie we were getting.
You know, I was kind of afraid that it was going to be too much of a comedy, which it wasn't. It had a very good balance of shoot 'em up, action, and comedy.
Yeah, and like I said, I really liked all of our characters. Like, there's about seven characters that were following pretty closely, and I liked all of them, and they were all different. And I thought that was great. Like, they were all very unique.
The standout for me was probably Elsa Gonzalez as Marjorie Stewart. She was really fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, she was.
She kind of steals the show. Granted, Henry Cavill like carries it, but she kind of steals the show when she comes in.
Yeah. Yep. So it was fun. It was fun to watch Alan Richardson, who plays Reacher, like just. It seemed like this role was perfect for him because he was all ripped from Reacher. So it was like, oh, you know, hey, I got this thing for you.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is if you loved your boy, Alan Richardson from Reacher. And
oh,
clearly he was your favorite character, wasn't he, Mike?
I enjoyed his character in this. The scene on the ship, dude, amazing.
The opening scene?
No. Well, I mean, that one was okay, but the one where it's like close quarters.
The one at the end of the film.
Yeah, towards the end, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the big set piece.
Yeah, the big set piece.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha. Because there's a lot of scenes on ships.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they open up on a fishing vessel, and I thought that was hilarious. That was so much fun. Mike, this movie is rated R. Were you disappointed that there was no nude Alan Richardson in the film?
You know, I was a little bit, but you know, sometimes you have to deal with it. It happens. It seems like you know, our heyday of movies when we were watching in the 80s and I guess 90s with the nudity like included, it seems like those days are gone, man. I just don't think there's going to be as much nudity anymore, man.
The violence gets ramped up, but the nudity goes down. Hey, yeah. You know what? Maybe we will get some nudity in the new Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Did you see the trailer that dropped today, Mike?
I did not.
There was a second. I think it's officially the second or the third. I don't know. The first one was a teaser. But this one has full-on, you know, shots of Hugh Jackman in his full-on Wolverine outfit. And it's glorious.
Awesome. Awesome.
So watch it. You will enjoy it. It is a red band because there's some F-bombs and some real serious violence in it. But yeah, the new Deadpool, I cannot wait for that. And I'm afraid that it might be the end of the franchise. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It keeps making money, though. So.
Yeah, that's good. We got to make that money. We got to make that cheddar, right, Matt?
I don't know. I work my ass off, and one day I'll get the cheddar. I'm still trying to get the cheese.
Oh, okay. Yes. Who stole your cheese? Who moved my cheese, right?
Who moved my cheese? That's the book. Yeah, that's the book.
Yeah.
But, Mike, I think you have some important questions to ask.
Oh, yes. I do have some important questions. I'm starting to get tired, dude. All right.
I know. That's why I'm gently reminding you.
What are you drinking this fine morning, evening, afternoon, Matt?
Mike, I'm not drinking anything fancy. I bought a case of these because they were cheap and I wanted some beers that were in a can so I could go on the water with them and things like that and take them in picnics and things, but I'm drinking a Michelob Ultra.
Oh, okay. That's fine, dude. I get it.
It's one of my two cheap go-to beers next to Miller High Life.
Okay. I'm drinking a Cigar City High Life, just a IPA, just classic IPA.
Just your classic IPA per usual. From Aldi?
No. High Life is not at Aldi.
Okay. I just kept giving you shit because we've talked about Aldi so much.
That's true. We could say it a few more times.
Aldi, Aldi, Aldi?
Yeah.
Oi, oi, oi. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Mike. So I know you're having a loss for words. You're very tired. I can tell you're having a difficulty speaking today.
I am having a little trouble speaking. I'm going to keep at it. Yeah, you going to keep at it.
Let's do it, water boy.
Oh, geez.
No, you're not that bad. I'm just messing with you. Here, take another sip of your beer and wake up while I ask you this question. Mike, what is this week's just god-awful dad joke?
I got dad jokes. I don't think they understand, though. Gotta think I'm funny. Other people never laugh, though. Dad jokes.
All right, Matt. So I'm checking out your new dad joke book, and I've got some good ones here.
Bad good ones or just good ones?
Well, bad good ones.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
What country do cows love to visit?
Well, India, of course, because that's where they don't get eaten.
That actually makes a lot of sense. No, it's New Zealand.
I ruined that one for you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. That's fine.
New Zealand is pretty funny, though. So, okay, Mike, I will proceed along so we can start spoiling this movie so then you can go to bed and go on your umpteenth vacation for the year. Mike, how does this long-ass titled movie that I need to look up real quick, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, relate to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
All right, Matt. Well, thank you for asking. None of our main cast of characters is in a Marvel Cinematic. There might be a few that are in some DC movies, but I did find one of the characters played Danny Sapena. Yeah, Danny Sapena was in Black Panther. And his character. Oh man, I'm losing it.
What are you losing? Your mind? Or are you losing your IMDb page?
I lost my IMDb page.
Did you hit refresh, Mike? You know you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah. His character was Kimbelli Kalyu? I'm not sure. But anyway, he was in the movie. One. Yeah. So, that is the MCU tie-in. So, Matt, we can spoil the movie now. And
go for it, dude. I think you're more excited about spoiling this than I am.
Okay. Well, I was just going to talk about the 007 tie-in, which you already talked about. So,
about Ian Fleming being in the film?
Yeah, but yeah,
That's not a spoiler. They use that to promote the movie.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
He's only in two freaking scenes, though, and it is more of a underling, but it's still, he was a part of the mission.
Yeah. No, but I enjoyed this movie quite a bit. I really liked the way that it was set up. I enjoyed the mission of, you know, on the fishing vessel, like, just slowly, like, getting to where they need to get, and then the infiltration onto the one island to get their buddy. I thought that was fun. There's a lot of fun scenes in this. Like, they're just, it's over the top, but, you know, I don't know. It was an enjoyable movie to watch. Like, it was just, I don't know. Maybe it's something about Nazis and I don't know. It was a good movie. And what an interesting story. Like, I know World War II is just full of them, Matt. I know you love history, but it's like, it's so crazy, all the things that happened. Like, so crazy.
Well, especially how they had to keep it super secret, and it came directly from the Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and he told everyone outright, if you do this and you get caught, even if you're caught by us, you're basically fucked. And they still stepped up and went, okay, we're going to do it for our country. Although they didn't say they were going to do it for their country. They kept saying that we're going to do it for ourselves because we love this kind of crazy shit. But they did it for the greater good, honestly. They did.
Yeah. No, it was, I don't know. It was a good cast of characters, dude. I got invested in the story. It was interesting, you know. Our bad Nazi German guy. I feel kind of bad for him because wasn't he in
Inglourious Basterds? Yep.
Yeah, was also like almost the same character.
No. He wasn't a villain in Inglourious Basterds. He in Inglourious Basterds, he was a Nazi that switched sides. He was one of the guys that, you know, Brad Pitt's character in that film was most proud of because he switched sides and he was just ruthless to killing his own kind.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
And again, he was typecast as hell because he's German and he has a thick German accent, but I thought he was actually pretty good. He was very like, I guess you would call it evil suave.
Okay.
You know, he was very like easy to like talk to, and he was very manipulative, and you know, one of our main characters, Marjorie Stewart, is supposed to kind of like seduce him and get to know him, and so that they can gain access to the ship easier and things. And he's, you know, working her as much as she's working him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They both knew that each other had alternative motives, I think. It was very interesting, but they still wanted to like interact. I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it, dude. I liked that back and forth, and they both were very, very smart characters, and they both realized they both were incredibly smart, and that's what made it even more fun.
Yeah, you're right. They did.
Oh, the dialogue and the writing for a couple scenes between them was out of this world, man. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of teenagers that had a hard time following it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Matt, what was your theater like when you went to watch this? Was it very busy, or what was it like?
It wasn't packed, but there was a good amount of people there. I'd say it was above average for a Thursday night in Prescott.
Okay. Yeah, mine was pretty packed. I had to go on a Saturday night.
Oh, that's why.
Well, it's not my favorite, but it was okay. It was okay. Yeah, I was a little... it was tough to get into the theater because there was a long line at the popcorn and they only had a couple people working, which I still don't know why that was a thing. But anyway, you know, I made it in there and yeah, I had a great time with this movie, dude. It was just fun.
It's a very good movie. Very, very good. I really enjoyed it. I don't want to spoil what like one of the biggest twists and turns is in the film, but I did not see that coming at all. The last minute twist on what the ship is and what's going on with the ship.
Oh yeah, no, dude, that was in their I guess on their toes thinking of like how they're still gonna do something. Like that was interesting. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
And super, super risky.
Yeah, they're still trying to figure out how to accomplish their mission, even though the game changed almost 100%. But they did it.
Yeah.
They still did it. And that was what was just amazing to me, is they were able to come up with a plan within literally probably 10, 15 minutes and then execute it almost to a T. There were some things that went wrong, which adds humor to it. But for the most part, they did exactly what they came up with last second.
Yeah, no, it's those kinds of stories. And like, you know, that I think that part's all true on the outcome. But how we got to that outcome, I think, is fuzzy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's maybe I'll never know. But I mean, I thought it was interesting how the documents that they based this film off of were only released in 2016.
Yeah, they were recently declassified, right?
Yeah. Yep, and that's why they were able to do the film. And, you know, Guy Ritchie's British, and he loves doing, you know, British-based films like Snatch and things like that. So this was right up his alley, man, the story, for sure.
Yeah. No, it must have been fun. And he got an awesome cast. I don't even think this movie cost that much to make, so I'm pretty sure it's going to make all its money back pretty quick.
Hold on. I got the IMDb's opened as well, Michael. I will see what they estimated the cost to make it was at.
I think it was like 60.
Yes. They estimated it's 60 million. Man, it only made 9 million on opening weekend, though.
Yeah, dude. Civil War was the number one at the box office.
Again, huh?
Yeah.
Tearing it up. Wow. Well, dude, okay. I think this was better than Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh, are you agreeing with me? Because I know you really liked Civil War.
So I did like Civil War, but I mean, I had I just had a wonderful time at this movie, which is kind of, I don't know if that means I'm a terrible person, because it's like ultra violent.
Dude, that's half the humor, though, is the ultra violence. I mean, seriously, like when he walks in and they're trying to rescue their one guy from the Nazi camp, and he's laughing and there's literally like 30 people in there and they just light them all up. That was insanely violent, but also kind of humorous at the same time because it was so ridiculous. There's no way in hell that would have been realistic, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, dude. I think this was a heck of a lot better than Civil War. I enjoyed Civil War as a photojournalist, but I think that if I had to pick between the two, I would go see this. I'd go see this again in the theaters. For sure. I enjoyed it. I really, really did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. It was I don't have a better, what should I say? Not fun. What?
Fun is correct. It was a fun time. It was a comedic time. It was an action filled time. Come on. What word are you thinking, Mike?
I'm trying to think of a bigger word. What else means fun? It was, I don't know. It's just enjoyable, like great popcorn movie. Like just kick your feet up and enjoy this interesting movie that has some historical significance as well, which is cool. Like it's a true story. I mean, highly fictionalized, but the outcome is true.
Yeah, the outcome's like, true. We're not sure about the rest of it.
The aspects of how it went down, like, do you think Churchill actually talked to them like it shows in the movie? Like,
I think that would be really cool if he did, because, you know, they also say not just that 007 and James Bond was inspired by this operation, but it was also basically the infancy of the British SAS, which is the equivalent of the United States kind of CIA crossed with like Navy SEALs. SAS is more military based, where, you know, but yeah, I guess that's the nice equivalent. It's basically the Navy SEALs of the British, and that's what made, you know, this operation inspired. Like, if you read, I'm sure you read the slides afterwards, but there's one guy in here that was on this operation that stayed on and ran like the SAS for a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was incredible. Quite an incredible mission, and it was very needed. And, you know, the war would have definitely had a different outcome if this hadn't happened. But there's so many instances of that in World War II. It's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, Mike. So, all right. We both love this film. I don't want to keep you up too much later. How many reels do you give The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
Dude, I think I'm going to give 5 reels, man.
Wow, holy cow. Dude, I didn't think you were going to go that high. Where I was teetering, and I'll be honest, I was teetering between 4 and 4.5. I was teetering. I ended up going 4, but I still love this movie. This is one that I would probably buy. It's a very, very good, fun, awesome film.
I think I'm going to go 5 because, you know, you always tell me I'm too harsh and...
Dude, you're not too harsh now. The children made you weak.
I've just had so much fun watching it. Like, it was a lot of fun. It was interesting characters, and it's based on true events, which, you know, I know is loose, but hey, it was a joy to watch this movie.
Oh yeah, dude. Awesome. Awesome. Highly, highly recommend it. Highly recommend everyone to see it in the theaters. You know who else gave it a 5, Mike? Because I know, because she talked about it on the radio, was Ma Henshaw.
Really?
My mom absolutely loved this film. And that kind of shocked me because she's not a big war, guts and gore kind of person, but she just loved this movie. And you will get to hear her podcast after this.
All right. Well, that's cool. So, man, me and Ma Henshaw tied this one the same.
Tying it up, Mike. So here's the bigger question. We've discussed it. I can't go to the theaters. I don't think there's a whole lot really coming out this week anyways. There's a couple films, but I don't know if my mom even got them down in her town. So did you make a decision, Mike, on what legacy film we're going to watch and review this next week?
Yeah, Matt. So I think in the honor of the new Beetlejuice, which is the second Beetlejuice sequel coming, or the sequel of Beetlejuice, that we would review Beetlejuice.
So we're going to review the original Beetlejuice from 1988.
Yeah. So, yeah, Michael Keaton.
So quick, Mike, do the math. The new Beetlejuice is coming out in September, the sequel. That's 2024. The original came out in 1988. How many years?
20, let's see. It's
over 24.
Yeah, no, it's over 24.
It's over 30.
Oh, yeah, over 30. 36?
I think that's right. Remember? I'm not doing the math in my head, but.
Yeah, man, 36 years, dude. Well, luckily nothing's changed. Everything's fine.
Yeah, and Michael Keaton is not old, and he's still young and youthful and bright.
Well, I mean, with the makeup, could you even tell?
Honestly, no, probably not. And I bet you he's probably even creepier with the makeup being older.
Yeah, maybe. So, I look forward to it. So, I just thought we would just have a fun... Another fun podcast, and this legacy cast, dude. You sound hyped for it. So
we haven't done a legacy in a while, man. I like doing the legacies. You know, I just don't want to bore too many listeners on the radio. But dude, I like doing legacy casts. There's nothing wrong talking about older films, and I can tell you exactly how many reels I'm going to give it, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to wait, and you're going to have to listen to us next week So, Mike, finish your yawn, and then why don't you take us out of here? Do your thing.
All right, everybody. Well, make sure to enter and tell us your favorite Jackass character to win the latest Johnny Knoxville movie, Sweet Dreams, in our contest. And, you know, catch us next week for the Beetlejuice Legacy podcast. Yeah, follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called, and Facebook. Thanks for listening, everybody. Catch you on the next pod.
Thank you for listening to The Real Film Nerds. Now, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Real Film Nerds. Now, go out and catch a movie.
Welcome, everyone, to Ma Henshaw Loses Her Cookies, episode 60, The Ministry of Ungodly Warfare.
Nope, not it.
No?
It is the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Ungentlemanly.
Not ungodly. Ungodly, that's a different movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah, oops. I'm sorry. Oops. Unfortunate. Okay, now I have to redo it. Okay.
No, I don't care.
Oh. Well, anyway, Unfortunate Warfare. Yes, I don't know. I have practiced that all day, saying it over and over. Thought I had it, and I goofed it up anyway. Oh, well. Hi, Matt.
And your goof up is even better. It's the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, not ungodly or unfortunate.
Oh, it's ungentlemanly. See? I goofed up my goof up. Oh, well. Okay, anyway. Hey, how did you like this movie? I loved it.
It's not my podcast. It's yours. They already heard me talk.
I love this movie. I thought it was superb and very interesting. I really liked it. I liked the acting. The cinematography was great, and it blew me away that this was from a true happening, or I don't know if I call it a story or what, but it was just absolutely amazing. And beautiful, the ocean scenes. I really liked Henry Cavill in it, and honestly, Elsa Gonzalez was fantastic. I really had never heard of her, but she is such a good actress, and she really nailed that part beautifully. It was really, really good. And I thought where they started was like the North Sea, I believe, and then they went down the coast. I could not figure out the island, the area of the island that they went to. But this was just fantastic. I highly recommend anyone watching it. And it had some funny parts in it. You wouldn't think that there would be any humor, but there was.
It's touted and sold as a action comedy, so I would hope there was humor in it if they're trying to say there was in the trailer, don't you think?
I think so, and there was humor in it. And
but it's not Elsa, it's Iza, E-I-Z-A, Gonzalez. And she has been in several movies that you have reviewed.
Has she? Iza?
She was in Ambulance. She was in Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. She was in Bloodshot. She was in Alita Battle Angel.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. But this is her best movie. She really was so good in it. And I mean, it just really surprised me what they did and how they did it. Yes, a bunch of misfits that were just spot on. And I really didn't have anything that I questioned. The emotions were well, are they going to live? Are they going to make it? Are they going to get through this? I just thought it was a very good movie. And that's about my view of it. I don't want to say a lot because there's a lot of surprises where I don't think I should say anything. So you pronounce her name Iza? Okay.
Well, it's spelled E-I-Z-A. How would you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Iza. Okay.
There's no L in there.
Nope. Dang it. Iza. Okay. There again, I'm pronouncing everything wrong. Sorry, folks. I'm an aged person, and man, I blew it. But anyway, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful, and she fit the part. And I loved watching her using the cigarette holder while she was talking to the bad guys. And I mean, it was just very fun. And oh, what, I don't know if who it was. I can't remember which actor did the bow and arrow, but I
that was him. Alan Richson.
Alan, that's what I thought.
Richard.
Okay. Anyway, Alan was really cool. He was good. And I thought, why do they need a guy who's, you know, shooting arrows? But yeah, you find out.
Well, Mom, they didn't need a guy that was shooting arrows. The whole point of his character, Anders, is that he knows how to kill a man in thousands of different ways. And that's what the bow and arrow shows.
And yeah, that is true.
Did you sleep through that part when they were explaining that at the beginning?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I just thought, you know, the different things where he did use the bow and arrow was really cool. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Even though he used other weapons and stuff, you know.
Yes, but the point of the bow and arrow is, one, to be silent, but it also shows that he can kill in 100 different plus ways.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. And he was awesome, and he did. I mean, they killed a lot of people, but it wasn't like terribly gruesome like some other battle movies are, but you know they did it, you know. Anyway, that's all I feel like. I thought it was just a really great movie. I was surprised because I thought, you know, I don't know if this is going to be good or not. How do you make comedy out of, you know, World War and stuff? But yeah, it was.
It's right. Not touted as a comedy. It is touted as an action comedy. It is more action than it is comedy.
Well, yeah, that's true. And there was more action than comedy.
Have you ever seen Crank or Crank 2? They are action comedies as well. There are many action comedies out there. Deadpool is another one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, anyway, I thought it was very good. I'd like to see it again, actually. You know, it's that good a movie to me. I would enjoy seeing it again, even though it's, you know, icky subject of World War II, but, you know, and her singing and stuff was really cool. And I just really liked the movie.
I don't know if I would refer to World War II as icky. But well, okay.
It was horrible.
Not my podcast.
No, I know. It's me.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's yours. That's why I want you to talk about it. Correct.
Disgusting and awful. And yeah, it was. You know. And yay, I'm so proud that they did what they did. And we were not in the war yet at that point. But then we helped so that they could be in because they got rid of all the stuff so that the U-boats would not, you know, stop the Americans from sending their stuff in and stuff. And I mean, I thought it was really, really good. And I don't want to talk a lot about any of it because you could go watch it. Please, people.
Are those all technical terms? The stuff of their stuff traveling across the stuff?
I am not technical. Sorry.
Well, Mom, you like history, and you can't say, well, the Americans were using boats to travel supplies from America to the British, and the U-boats were sinking their ships with or without people on it. They explain it at the beginning of the film. That's historical.
I know,
and
but
you
I
said stuff.
I figured you already said that.
Does it matter? This is your podcast, isn't it? Not mine.
I don't want to repeat what you said. I don't want to do that. I just want people to know that it was very good, and bravo, I'm so proud of those folks for doing what they did. And I could not believe that she lived. I thought, sure. You know, she wasn't going to make it through a lot of that stuff. I figured they'd go, oh, you know, and they didn't. I mean, you know, they didn't figure out. I mean, it's mind-boggling, but I thought it was really cool. Okay.
Well, and you didn't want to spoil the movie, and you just spoiled it. You said she lived.
Well, okay, I spoiled it. One little spoil. Sorry. Oh, God.
One little spoil? Okay. It's the very end of the movie, and it's just one little spoil.
Well, no, it is. It's a big, big spoil, but, you know.
No, come on. I don't.
Okay, well. I tried not to spoil something, but I spoiled it. So forgive me or shoot me, whatever.
Why do you want to be shot now?
Because I shouldn't have given away that, but I did.
Mom, you need therapy.
Yeah. Okay. Is my 15 minutes up? I got to go.
We're going to get you better help. I need to get them as a sponsor.
Hey.
Ma Hinshaw. Loses her cookies, brought to you by BetterHelp.
Just do not. Don't sit at home and watch it on your big TV. Go see it in the movie. My final statement, okay?
Why are you getting so mean and angry?
Because I think it's fantastic to see it in the movie. I really do. I think it would lose some of its impact if you were sitting on your couch just watching the television. But that's my view, you know. So, I mean, you know, big screen is really big and very cool. So, all right, Matt. Should I give my number of cookies?
It's your podcast. You do what you want, Ma.
All right, I give it 5 cookies, people. So I really liked it. You should go see it. There. Okay?
And what's the name of the movie again?
Oh, good Lord. The Ministry of Unfortunate Warfare? Did I get it?
That's the third time you changed it.
Well, what is it?
Try it again. I just like this. This is a fun thing. Here, try it again. What's the next time?
I don't know what it is the next time. I know it's not ungodly. It's what is it? Oh, shit. Pardon me.
Oh, Maya just swearing on her podcast. Ooh.
It's unfortunate, isn't it?
No.
What is it?
Try another one. I just want to see if you can guess it. This is fun.
No, I'll run over my 15 minutes. Let me go now.
You have ungodly. You have unfortunate. Come on. Let's go with another un word. Come on.
I give up.
That doesn't start with un. Come on.
No, I can't. I can't do it.
Come on.
No, I can't. No, I don't. I know.
In the words of Yoda, do or do not. There is no try.
I don't know. What else besides unfortunate? I don't know.
Well, come on.
No, I wrote it down wrong too. Oh, for Pete's sake. I can't. No, I give up. Okay, Matt, if you want to.
What did you write down?
I think I wrote unfortunate down.
It's ungentlemanly warfare.
ungentlemanly. Who the heck cares if they're ungentlemanly? Well, whatever. And she's a girl anyway, but
she's okay. Not part of the crew. Well, I mean, she's kind of part of the crew, but not. She's not on the ship.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, yes, no. Mom, that Winston Churchill cares. That's why he had to do it in secret.
Well, that's true. That is true. And that was amazing. It was an amazing movie and amazing they did it. Okay?
So, do you feel proud of yourself that you tied with Mike?
I did. He gave it a 5-2.
Yeah, he said, I always say he's too harsh on movies, and he decided to give it a 5.
Well, I am giving it a 5. So there, folks.
Okay, so why don't you tell your one listener, super fan Eric, what movie you're going to talk about next week?
Oh, Eric, we're going to do Beetlejuice. And it would be fun to watch that, and I'll watch it at home. But okay, it's okay.
It's not in the theaters. So, yes, you have to watch the original 1988 Beetlejuice at home starring Michael Keaton.
It was 1980? Gosh, I didn't know it was
1988.
Oh, 8. Oh, okay. 88. All righty. Well, anyway, yeah, I will watch it again. And I'm not going to say now, but anyway. Okay. Thank you, one fan. Go and watch Beetlejuice.
And what's the name of this movie that you reviewed?
Oh, no.
I'm not going to end the podcast until you say it.
Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. I give up.
I think I like Ungodly better. That's more fun.
Well, they were a little bit of that too, you know.
I think just torturing you, making you say and try and think and say this long title is the most fun.
Well, yes, and it's revolting because I wrote it down wrong on top of it all. Doggone it. Okay.
All right. Are you done? Are you done with your cookies? Are they all lost now?
My cookies are crumpled. Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another exciting episode of Ma Henshaw Loses Her Cookies, brought to you by BetterHelp. BetterHelp, when you need therapy and you don't want to leave your house. That's a great slogan, yeah?
No. Bye.
No, I'm not done yet. You can't say bye yet.
Oh, anyways, no.
Make sure to tune in next week when Mom talks about Beetlejuice, starring someone that's probably still even younger than her, Michael Keaton. So thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we will chat with you next week.
Bye.